And our final speaker in the roundtable is Ali Kazemi, our special guest for today. For those of you who weren't here this morning, he is associate professor at York University and a documentary filmmaker. He screened his film this morning, The Continuous Journey. And we look forward to hearing what you have to say about it.
Thank you. And once again, great honor to be here and among wonderful company and wonderful. Thank you for organizing this day. It's not often that we get to discuss issues of race in the Canadian context. And what I'll try and do is to sort of bring Stuart Hall closer to home and within a particular and a personal context. So first of all, it's wonderful to have my film juxtaposed with this film. I know John Akamfra, and John actually was on the jury in which Continuous Journey was awarded the top prize at the Mumbai International Film Festival, and John wrote a wonderful citation for the film. So it's great that circle is in a way complete today, that our films are paired together. And I've watched this film for the second time, and I remember speaking to John about the film when he was in Toronto, and he shared with me that he was being criticized for making a hagiography of Hall and wasn't critical enough. And as I told him then, as I feel today, is that I felt the film comes from a deep love and respect of the man, and it's deeply imbued with the sense of a deep connection to not only his work, but also what Hall means to John Akamfra, and which is what I feel motivates the film and drives it. Because films always work at two levels. They have to work with the heart and mind. And this film has a lot of heart to it as well. And I think we can't sort of forget that as we discuss it, as does Hall's work. And in terms of one of the things that struck me today in continuing on the discussion we had earlier after my film was a few quotes around race and empire and belonging. One of the things that a trope that repeats itself, in fact, starts in Canada very early on at the beginning of the 20th century with the arrival of the Komagaramaru, is this deep sense of feeling betrayed by empire. Feeling this deep betrayal of belonging that the empire promised, which was British fair play and justice around the world, and equality for all subjects before in front of the crown. Of course, this was a great myth, but it was a myth that continues to be foisted upon us with nostalgic representations of empire, particularly the British Empire, the so-called Raj in India, where there's this kind of, and I think the British have done an extraordinary job of whitewashing their role in the brutality of the empire. And one of the quotes from Hall that jumped out is that race is a lens through which people come to see a crisis developing. I think this is such a prescient term for the Canadian context, and this is something that we see ongoing today, not just at the time of the Komagaramaru, where race becomes front and center in terms of the crisis brewing, which is the invasion of the Hindu hordes, but we see this being used today by Stephen Harper and his constant unrelenting demonization of Muslims in various ways. And again, the crisis that we are perceived to be in today has developed around the issue of race. The difference between the British context and the Canadian context, I think we really have to remember, is that there's a shot in the film where there's a poster that says, "Keep Britain White." And I remember those times. I had a friend who was whose mother was English, and who'd gone back in the mid 70s to live with his mother, And I remember his father, who was Indian, talking to me in Delhi, and we were, you know, wondering, was quite fearful about the vicious attacks that were happening during the so-called Paki bashing period of the 70s, which then came to Canada as well. And there was this notion of the British National Party around keeping Britain white. Now, but that same claim of keeping Canada white emerged much, much earlier. And it emerged, in fact, with the formation of, in fact, at Confederation, where Johnny MacDonald says that, you know, he speaks out against any notions of race mixing, as it was called then, and speaks about the fear that Canadians don't want this nation to be inhabited by a mongrel race. And that fear of miscegenation that continues to this notion of a white Canada that starts taking place. And this notion of white Canada is prevalent throughout Canadian popular thought, political thought, and in fact parliamentary debates. If you look at the Hansard records, there are constant references to Canada being a white man's country. Constant. And you can look, it goes on till about the 1950s. But the problem that arises in Canada, which is quite different from Britain, is of course to keep Canada white, one has to work within and without. I mean, it's not just a problem where race is not just an external problem of immigration. Race is also a problem within, if one wants to call race a problem, because dealing with the colonization and appropriation of Aboriginal people's lands and resources, right? So the notion of Canadian whiteness is deeply problematic, and in fact has a genocidal bend to it, which is even more strident than the notion of the Britishness or around the sense of British nationhood. I just want to wrap up by saying something that Daniel had brought up, which is, and this is something that I've been reflecting on. I think in Ontario and in Canada in particular, we can't forget that we have lived through the protégés of Thatcherism in Mike Harris, and we're living through another protégé in Stephen Harper. And part of their regimes have been a very, very deliberate attack and undermining of any kind of cultural politics. One of the things that happened in Canada in the 90s was there was this great growth and great ferment in cultural production, driven by and inspired by the work in Britain in the 80s. You know, we went from a period of looking at the work of Sankofa and the Black Audio and the Film and Video Collective, to then looking at our own work being generated over here. And just as when it was really thriving, we got Mike Harris. And one of the things that I do remind people was that the Harris government, within the first week of its of coming to power, decimated the Ontario Film Development Corporation, which was a key foundation, had been a key in terms of cultural production in Ontario, which in turn is the heart of film production in Canada, outside Quebec, always outside Quebec. And Quebec has its own thriving industry, but and that we have never recovered from that. And part of then a peculiar thing starts happening. The same kind of appropriation of the language of cultural studies starts happening in Canada, particularly this notion of being politically correct, which is appropriated by the right, and then reappropriated strangely enough by cultural workers and the left to attack each other. And I've always been very, very confused by this notion and the silencing that the And this lack of critical thought in this language and the use of a particular language. So what I want to just leave you with, I think that within that Hall's legacy is with us, and we sort of live it. And for me, the Hari Singh, who's a colleague of mine at York, you know, I went through a lot of similar transitions that Hall talks about personally, because I came from India as a graduate student myself, and there are parallels in terms of my experiences and, of course, significant differences. But Hari said something that connects us all. He said, you know, the idea, race was an idea for me before I came to Canada. But in Canada, I lived race, which is a difference.